You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for creatives and new bloggers hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist and blogger living in London. Welcome to the first ever episode of What She Said. In this episode, I chat to my good friend Jen Lothrop, who runs the blog She Gets Around, as well as a successful freelance career too. We talk about the many facets freelancing can take and glean some tips from her entrepreneurial brain. She has some awesome tips for new bloggers, and she shares a game changer of an SEO tip. So I really hope you enjoy it. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Lucy.
This is going to be a really awesome podcast because we're actual real life friends as well. Yay. As online friends.
I think it's actually our year anniversary.
Oh my God, it totally is.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I just had something come up about Traverse last year, So it's actually our 1 year anniversary.
So we need to go to Dishoom for brunch again.
I think we maybe do, yeah.
With the baby.
Well, yes.
And maybe even Michael Ball.
And Sinbad.
And it's Sinbad, yeah. So,
obviously.
Do you want to get started by just introducing yourself, talking about your blogging journey, how you got started, what you're doing now?
Yeah, cool. So I'm Jen. I write the travel blog She Gets Around. It has been running, this is where I'm actually going to forget. I think this year is 7 years, I think. And so I started it when I was going traveling around Asia for what was going to be kind of indefinitely traveling the world, but I ended up only going for 9 months, but that's a whole nother story.
Only
9 months. And so I started it. I'd written a couple of blogs before on like blogger.com or something, whatever it is, when I'd been on like 3 week holidays and written kind of every day of what I did. Mm-hmm. And so then when I went traveling longer term, I was like, I want an actual proper website. And I was sat having lunch, Sunday lunch with some friends, and we were talking about it. And it was the time that I decided I was going to go traveling that I decided the name of my blog. And it was basically I'd had another crappy boy had let me down. And I was about to buy a house and that fell through. And I wasn't really enjoying my job, or I was kind of like over it and ready for the next thing. And my friends were like, well, you've always wanted to go traveling. Why don't you do it? You've got the money. You've got you don't have a boyfriend. Like, you're not that fussed about your job anyway. And I was like, oh, my God, yes, this is like the perfect time. And I was like, and I could blog about it. And they were like, yeah, and you could like date your way around the world. And I was like, yeah. And then we were like, you could call it She Gets Around. I was like, oh my God, yeah. And it was just like one of those, this like 2 minute conversation that was just like, yes, yes, yes. And so, that was it really. That kind of what started it and where the name came from. And so then my plan was to travel and volunteer my way around the world, because I worked in volunteering before, in student volunteering. Mm-hmm. So I did actually have two blogs originally. I had one that was Volunteer Addict and one that was She Gets Around. So one was about travel and dating, and the idea was it was about different dating cultures around the world and dating different people as I moved around the world. And then the other one was on volunteering. I've since merged the volunteering one with She Gets Around, so I've just got like a volunteering section. But yeah, so I went traveling, started writing, realised not long in that actually I'm a bit crap at writing about dating because I don't like to offend people too much. And the good stories were always the bad ones. Yeah. And then I got worried that they'd read them and it would kind of, and I'd upset them. And also dating people from different cultures is also quite hard, especially when they know that you're dating them to write about them.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't become a proper date. And anyway, so that's how the blog started. And I did still carry on writing about dating for a while, but then I got boyfriends that stopped that as well. But I've always kept up with the travel. And it was when I came back from traveling that I started to like go to networking events and stuff, and realise that people do this for a living, though it wasn't really a proper living then. It was still kind of people starting to make a bit of money. Like, there were very few people that were actually doing it as a full-time job.
And you were at the first London chapter of Travel Massive, right?
Yeah. So it was right at the beginning when it was literally about 10 of us sat in a pub having a drink and talking about, and you know, back then we actually talked about travel. And that's one thing that I always get upset about at every Traverse event is all it's about stats and numbers and all that. But it was quite fun that we'd actually just talk about where we've been traveling and where we wanted to go. So it was quite different. But then it's kind of just stayed with me, really. I never really thought I'd be a blogger, but then I became one and carried on doing it alongside my job. And then it was come a year and a half ago now, I think, that I, maybe it's even two, I'm so crap with time. And at some point in the last year to 2.5 years, I went freelance. And so that was kind of partly to focus more on my blog, but also to do other freelance work and basically to work for myself. It's kind of what I've always known that I want to do. And I've just never really thought, wondered, known how. And so now I am. And I mean, so it's been about 2 years now and it definitely keeps getting better. And even though there's really crappy days, the crappy days are still better than a normal day in an office of a full-time job. It's like, there's not one part of me that regrets it. It's like the best decision I ever made was to go freelance.
And you're smashing it this year as well.
Yeah, the last couple of months are going, well, last few months are going really well. Like, it's so up and down. And I think that's one of the things with freelance is, I mean, in January, I was like crying at my friend's kitchen table because I'd bought a house at the end of last year and I've got a massive mortgage to pay and I've got crap loads of renovation costs and suddenly like my work disappeared and I was having a bit of a panic attack, but then something came along and then more stuff came along and now it's doing really, really well and I'm hoping it'll keep it up, but we'll see. There'll probably be another low, but then there'll be another high and the highs are amazing, so it's all worth it.
That's so true. How much would you say that your blog has led to your freelance work? Because actually, well, obviously I know what you do freelance wise. But do you want to talk a little bit about what it is that you actually do?
So, I mean, what I do changes all the time. And I think that's one thing with being freelance is, especially at the beginning, you've kind of got to go where the money is. And so you start just like doing stuff and then one thing leads to another. And I seem to be like a expert in something different all the time. that sounds really bad, but no, like this, you can, I think the thing with freelance is you've got to be constantly on your game and constantly learning and learning the updates and new stuff. And so I do a lot of digital marketing, a bit of AdWords, a bit of SEO, social media. I've started doing some UX stuff, kind of website design.
So just
write a lot of content.
Just to jump in, UX is user experience.
Yes. So, yeah, so basically kind of, yeah, user experience. I had to look that up not that long ago.
and you get paid to do it.
So it's basically kind of primarily websites and then apps and stuff, but making it as user-friendly as possible. So kind of if you go on a website, how do I make the process of you getting whatever the reason you went to that website, how do you make it as easy as possible for you to do that thing? So it's actually really interesting. I actually really enjoy it. It's something that I want to keep doing, definitely. So I do all sorts. And then obviously I also do my blog and it kind of swings and roundabout really as to how it, how much I do of one or the other. At the moment, there's a lot more freelance work than blogging just because that's at the moment where more money is and I need the money to renovate my house. But last year it was more about the blog and I did a lot more travels. So it really fluctuates, but I like that. I like that it's different. And that's one of the reasons I love freelance. And I feel like there was an original question that I haven't answered.
No, you have. I was just asking what it is that you do in your freelance work and how blogging kind of plays into that.
So the blogging thing, that was the question. I remember now. So it's literally pretty much everything I've learned through my that I do for freelance work I've learned through my blog. There are other bits that I obviously gained skills through my full-time jobs I had before as well, but even my full-time jobs I got a lot of those because of the skills I'd learned from my blog.
Oh really? That's interesting.
Massively, like social media for example, I'm completely self-taught by doing it myself through my blog, and I'll like trial things on my blog that I can then kind of, if they work, use them with a client. And so it's it's definitely, they don't necessarily find me from my blog because my clients, a lot of my clients aren't travel clients. But the skills that I've got from that are just, it's all what I use in my freelance work. So
going back to when you started your blog, in the early days, obviously, like most people, you started it when you were traveling, just have a bit of a laugh. Probably actually you were taking it a bit more seriously, given that you started with a proper website and all the rest of it. When did you start to monetize it and take it more seriously?
It's hard to say. Like, I'd say probably like a couple of years in was when I started to make a bit of money from it, but it was literally like small change, like not very much at all. And then it was from going to conferences that I kind of learned a lot of like what other people were doing. And it was actually what started me on the kind of press trip bandwagon, so to speak, was through winning a trip at a conference.
Was that the one where you got the plane?
No, that was my friend that got the plane. I just went with them. What was the first one? I think... so one of the first conferences that doesn't exist anymore, when you got a conference ticket at the end of it, you got a like 3-day press trip. So you picked like those different trips and you'd pick one and get to go on one. So that was probably my first ever press trip just from going to the conference. And then another conference, I won a trip. And then from that, I won another trip. And then I became like the conference prize winner and used to annoy everyone by winning all the trips. I'm pretty sure my name's now. Haven't you? I've probably won about six. Like, I'm not even joking.
Have you won anything at WTM ever? Because I never win anything there either.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I did.
Oh, yes.
But they
sorry. Haven't. That's a sore point. Yeah.
That's a sore point. Yes. Should have won flights to Sri Lanka, but apparently not.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It's all been Traverse mainly. So, and I mean, that's one thing if you're starting out, like enter all the competitions, especially at conferences, because the pool of people is so small. Like if there's 300 people at a conference, you've got and not everyone enters. That's it's amazing how many people don't enter.
Yeah, that's really true actually.
So often you might have like a 1 in 20, 1 in 50 chance of winning a holiday, which is actually pretty high. So so that's what started me off, and that's what kind of helped me gain kind of relationships with tourism boards and travel brands. And from that, I've then got case studies to use for future trips. And that's kind of how it continued, really.
That's a really good tip, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time it's about, if that's something that you want to do, go on more press trips, then a lot of the time it's about cultivating relationships with PRs. Because I remember you telling me this, a PR, when they're planning who they want to go on a press trip with, it doesn't like one of the factors that's going to play into it is whether you're professional, whether you're nice, whether you're a nice person. Obviously they're going to be looking at the deliverables and stats and all the rest of it, but if you're a complete douchebag and they know that you're a pain to work with, then they're probably going to put you at the bottom of the pile anyway.
It's so true. And it's also the same with other bloggers as well. Like a lot of my trips have come through my blogger friends, and like if they can't go on a trip, they might recommend me.
Yes.
or if they're going on a trip and then the PR might say, do you know other people? And then because they'll want to go away with their friends, so they'll suggest their friends. So it's so much about networking, like with anything, like go to the conferences, go to blogger networking events, like meet with people. Like that's how you get the connections. Like it's very rare that someone will completely randomly just find your blog and invite you away on some amazing trip for a week. Like
Especially nowadays, there's so many blogs out there that you've got to let yourself stand out a little bit. If that's what you want to do, if you want to go on press trips. Would you say there's a bit of a downside to press trips though? Because I'm very aware that there's quite a lot of, it looks, they, well, okay, so we've both been on them, obviously.
Yeah.
And they can look a lot better than they are.
Yeah. So I think press trips, they really vary. For one, when you're going away with people you'll know, they're generally a lot better than when you're going away with strangers. They're very different if you go with just bloggers versus bloggers and more traditional journalists. I know you're both, but generally the journalists are, like, look down upon bloggers and get annoyed when people are taking 50 million photos of their food and all that kind of stuff.
Michael, from Traverse, for people that don't know. If when he's working with brands and PRs and stuff, he will encourage them not to necessarily put bloggers and journalists on the same trip, because they do a completely different function. The reason I like going as a journalist is basically because it's easier.
Well, exactly, it's so much easier, that's the thing. And it's like, sometimes I'll go on a press trip, and one they want to fit in as much as they possibly can, so it's really tiring. You're like up at 7 in the morning and you've got to, you know, politely carry on drinking cocktails till 11 o'clock on midnight. It's a really hard life.
Yeah, but it is actually.
When you complain about this stuff, you seem like the most ridiculous person. Like, I had to go to a spa, I had to go honey tasting, I had to go on a walk, I had to go for a 5-course meal.
It is really tiring though, especially when
It is so tiring. And when you've got to like catch up with putting stuff on social media, and then it's, yeah, it's really draining. And then by the end of it, you've done so much, you've forgotten what you've done, and it's to focus on what you want to write about. And sometimes they'll have often, if you're doing like 6 things in a day, they'll have probably promised every person, every company or whatever that you visited, that you're going to write about them.
Yeah.
And you're not, like, you're going to pick what you want to write about. And so, and often there's a clear winner of something that you do that's a lot better than the rest, and every blogger will end up writing about the same thing. I always have this horrendous guilt trip about that, but it's, some press trips, they massively vary. Some are a lot better than others, some are a lot more organized than others. But I think PRs are learning that we need more downtime, that we need like a bit of freedom to like do our own thing, even if we have like an afternoon free. And some are getting better, but some just really aren't. Like, it's, yeah.
It's hit and miss.
I don't go on as many anymore, but I don't think as many happen. I think more PRs are doing more individual trips.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Which I think is better, because I think I was talking to somebody else about this recently, and we were saying that an independent trip is actually, I mean, it's better for us, the people going on it, the content creator, but it's also better for the content that's going to be created, because you're not going to get exactly the same. That's another thing probably I should explain, is there are blogger collectives out there where they're almost run like an agency, aren't they?
Yeah.
But if you're on one of those campaigns, there's pros and cons, obviously. It's brilliant because you're being managed kind of a bit more professionally. You will get a lot more downtime, etc., etc. But the content that's produced tends to be the same times 6.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, not to talk shit about them at all, but
I think they're learning. I think things are getting better, and I think bloggers are getting more savvy and being more kind of like, this is what I want, take it or leave it. And as you get bigger, you can do that more, whereas when you're starting up, you're probably just going to say yes to everything and go with the flow. So it's
that's true.
And that's the thing, there'll always be people that will say yes to everything, but
that's a good point actually. And you don't have to be one of those people. If you genuinely don't feel like if this isn't the right fit for you, or you think you're going to be taken advantage of or whatever, that you'll never get another opportunity, because that's not true. Like, it's good to kind of know your own worth and know your value.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
Definitely. We've
both said no to stuff and we still get employed, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Exactly. What would you say some of your biggest lessons and stumbling blocks have been along the way as a blogger?
Oh my God, there's so many, but I still do them. So it's like, all the lessons I've learned and then destroyed. I don't even know where to begin, really. Like, there's just, there's the how I'd like to do things, and then there's the reality. And the thing is, everything takes time, and you think that, like, oh, I'll just bash out a quick blog post and post it up and there we go, lovely. But it doesn't work like that. Like, if you really want to do it properly, you've got to do a nice Pinterest image, or like 2 or 3 Pinterest images. You've got to schedule it on Twitter like a few times. You want to schedule it on Facebook once or twice. You want to put 2 or 3 Instagram photos up that link with the blog. You want to check some keywords and do a bit of SEO. Like, there's so much if you really want to make it work, and I rarely do all of that for every blog post. So I think for me, it would be kind of having a process of sorts for each time you kind of post something up, go through the motions of each thing that you want to do and do it. One thing that I learned from, so I did, I was one of Monica's guinea pigs for her blogger course. She does a blogging course called the Blogger Course.
And that's Monica the Travel Hack.
Yes, the Travel Hack, yes.
I will link to it in the show notes.
Okay, cool, which is really good. So she made a point that with when you've written a blog post, search on Google for the same title or, you know, the same topic area. So say you're writing a blog post of, like, top things to do in Barcelona, Google top things to do in Barcelona or things to do in Barcelona or whatever, and look at what comes up at the top and figure out how you can make your blog post better, which I thought was a really good point.
That's a really good tip.
And not something that I do at all ever, but now I want to. And it's like there are so many blog posts out there, so many people writing the same stuff, that if you want to get higher up there, you've got to make it better than what's already up there.
Or different.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like top 10 things to do in Barcelona has probably been written like 5,000 times.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, yeah, how can you make yours unique and different and better than what's already out there?
That's really interesting.
Yes, there's absolutely tons you can do. I mean, I don't do half of it, but you know.
but you know what
you could
be doing.
That's half the trick.
But you know, like, one of my biggest things is that I don't really believe in rules as such anyway. So
yeah,
I kind of think it's, if you've got like, yeah, the stuff that I do for each blog post, but also if you don't do it, like,
and part of the fun of being a blogger is that you're working for yourself and you're doing what you want to do and writing about what you want to write about. And there are so many people that are kind of, oh, you shouldn't accept sponsored posts, or oh, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that, and why haven't you done that, and your blog should look like this, and like, no, it can look and do whatever the hell you want it to do, as long as you're legal.
It's
up to you. It's your blog. And I think sometimes when you are being completely true to yourself, that's when you can actually do better. So
I completely agree. I actually think that one of the journeys that almost every single person goes through, especially when whether you're a blogger or an Instagram or a YouTube or whatever, you'll be creating, you'll hit a peak and be like, oh, I like this. And then suddenly you'll start looking at other people, start listening to the rules, in inverted commas, and then think you need to change things before kind of coming out of that and being like, fuck it, I'll create what I want. And as soon as you get to that stage where you're like, yes, I'm just creating because I love to create, I want to write about this or whatever, without the constraints of what other people are telling you should be doing, that's when you kind of hit a role, I think for you initially you started out talking about different dating cultures, so like travel and dating, but then you realized that wasn't going to work, and so you just stopped writing about it. You could have stuck with that because you were like, no, but that's my name, blah 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 blah.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, every time I tell people the name of my blog and, like, the original premise behind it, everyone's like, oh, my God, that's so cool. That's such a good idea. That's so unique. Like, and I'm like, yeah. And I get all excited. I'm like, yeah, I really need to actually do this properly. And then I kind of get home and I'm like, oh, but I don't actually want to write about that. And so I don't. And I've kind of been putting off, I guess, kind of telling people that I'm not writing about it, and that I've just kind of stopped, which I think is fine in some ways too, but it's very much about doing what you want to do, and your blog kind of changes as you change, and I think that's okay too. And people worry about losing their readers, but then you'll probably gain new readers, but then a lot of your readers probably follow you for you anyway. So as you change, like, you know your blog's changed, right? Because you've wrote a lot about travel, and now you write less about travel, and you're obviously about to have a baby, and so there's been a lot of baby stuff and pregnancy stuff, and that's just, I think that's what happens to all of us. Like, maybe one day maybe not. My blog, I'll write about babies, but yeah, not right now. Who knows? Like, at the moment, I'm actually thinking of, because I'm renovating a house and also setting up a new business, which is a co-working space. So I'm getting really excited about all my like interior design stuff. And I kind of want to start writing a bit about that, is totally not what my blog is about. But I'm like, well, because then you kind of think, oh, should I set up a new blog? But then having more than one is, oh my God, such a nightmare. But just, you know, just write about what you want to write about. If people don't want to read it, they don't have to read it. Like, it's not...
I completely agree with you. And I think the people that tell you you can't do that tend to have their own agenda, and it's either insecurity or they've got an e-course they want to sell you or whatever. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I haven't, since I've been writing less about travel and more about pregnancy, I've gained readers, and I recently sent out an email to subscribers who hadn't opened the last like 5 emails or whatever.
Mm.
Like, do you want to still be on the list? Like, none of them came back. So I was like, yeah, fine. So I got rid of like 300 people from the list because I was like, well, what's the point? Who cares? But that's it. Ultimately, it's like 300 people.
Yeah,
off my subscriber list, it just isn't that big a deal. I don't like they weren't even real people anyway, because they weren't opening the emails and reading them. So it's definitely you should never be scared of it. And you're right, people read everybody reads everybody's blog for the personality normally. Otherwise, go to Wikipedia. I think there's been a real. I mean, you know, I'm not really on Facebook and I'm not active on it at all, but. There's been a real shift, I think, in the probably even the past 4 or 5 months with Facebook and Instagram, and people talking about the sketchy tactics a lot more. Probably not with Facebook, actually, but specifically with Instagram. So, yeah, so Instagram and Facebook. How has your kind of relationship changed with them? I think it's really changed massively over the past few years.
I don't know. I think social media has massively changed. It's going to be really interesting to see how it changes over the coming months and years, because obviously they have to make money. And now it's not just about Facebook and Instagram and Twitter making money, but it's about the people using it making money, and they get annoyed when people are making money and they're not making money, or blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it all boils down to money at the end of the day, doesn't it? But what was for years my favourite social media was Twitter. And it makes me really sad that Twitter isn't what it used to be. And it was so much about like chatting to people, and it was such a friendly place and really helpful, and you'd always find stuff. And in some respects, that's still there, but it's become a bit of a just like, here's my blog post, here's my blog post, here's my blog post.
Yeah.
Which I have a thing that sends an old blog post like every 6 hours or something that I keep meaning to remove, but then I think if I remove it I won't tweet for a week and then it'll look even worse. But anyway, it's another thing on my list of things you should do and things you shouldn't do and how I don't do the right thing. And then with Instagram, it's like I go through phases. Like, I really love Instagram, but then, I mean, my followers just never go up, or they go up so slowly. It's like, oh, I've had 30 new followers today. Oh, I've had 29 unfollows today. Like, it's just really frustrating. And I don't know. It annoys me because you see people that have got like 50 million followers and they probably follow 50 million people back. And it's just, are those... They're not genuine followers. They're just people. It's the whole like for like thing. Like, they're not actually liking your post because they really like it, or they're really interested in what you have to say, or they're interested in the product that you're talking about. They're just liking it because they want you to like theirs back. And it just becomes a bit frustrating. And then Facebook, I actually really like because I find it a bit more genuine. However, Facebook makes it harder and harder for people to see your posts because of their algorithm.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem with Facebook. So it's kind of, there seems to be a kind of issue with all of them at the moment. I don't really have one that I'm like madly in love with and use all the time, which upsets me because, I mean, I work in social media and I love social media. But then I also kind of hate it a bit at the moment as well. So
I kind of think the same. I obviously love Instagram. I hate Facebook.
Yeah,
but also at least Facebook is not as sketchy. The only problem is, yeah, like you say, the algorithm. I mean, unless you're going to pay for posts, there's just no point with Facebook anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And it, yeah.
Which is a shame. But then Instagram...
And then there was Instagram this big charge. Thing. I don't know if you saw some people chatting on Facebook about Facebook, as you do. And it was about Facebook have now put in new rules around brands. And when you tag a brand in your Facebook post, they're going to, you've got to tag it as like a branded post and all this stuff. And it's like, how do they know whether you're being paid or not? Or like, because I put something up on, I was skiing last week and it was a holiday, it wasn't a press trip. And I put something up and tagged Folly Douche because I love it and I had a great time there. And I was like, Folly Douche is amazing. I love Folly Douche, but I just because I love it, not because I was being paid to post it. And I haven't been penalized by Facebook, but that's the kind of thing that they would penalize. Yeah. But and it's kind of what if it is a genuine thing? And I don't know. It's tricky. Or as a blogger, is it just that everything is branded because that's what you do? There's so many grey areas, isn't there, with all of this stuff. So I don't really know what the answer is.
Just play it safe, I guess. But yeah, no, it's kind of bullshit, really, isn't it?
It just kind of takes the fun out a bit of it, really.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so I just think my main tips would be it's so much about networking, like both as a freelancer and a blogger, everything. And it sounds really bad and like totally... it's not what you know, it's who you know, but it totally is. And being a nice person, networking both online and offline, and meeting people is the way to, you know, learn and also gain new contacts and stuff. And and for me, that's the most important part of it.
That's a really good tip.
I love that I don't just do my blog. And I was talking to Monica actually today from the Travel Hack and saying how, because Monica is like a full-time blogger, does really, really well with it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to be as big and amazing as Monica. Her blog, she's not very big.
she's actually tiny.
Two babies and she's still tiny. But anyway, and though, yes, that would be wonderful, I definitely don't put in the amount of effort and time that she does. Yeah. So I wouldn't expect to be as big. But I'm really happy that I've got like all my freelance stuff and I'm setting up this co-working space and I like doing lots of different stuff. And so it's kind of, it's okay if you don't want to be a full-time blogger.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think every single blogger I meet does different stuff and makes money in slightly different ways. And that's just the nature of the game. And so, yeah, don't just completely copy people. Just do your thing.
Be you, do you.
Be you, exactly. Do you sounds a bit weird. But yeah, be you. And on that point.
On that note, where can
she gets around.
Where can everybody find you? You're on right?
I'm She Gets Around is my blog. And then I am actually, again, another golden rule that I've totally broken. I'm Jay Lothrop on Twitter, on Instagram, on Pinterest, but because I set them all up before my blog, apart from maybe not Instagram because that didn't exist, but I copied my Twitter one basically.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, I'm She Gets Around. So I'm either She Gets Around or Jay Lothrop on everything.
I'll link it all up in the show notes.
Yeah. Cool.
And is there anything, any big projects that you're working on blog-wise that you want people to check out? WorkPie?
Yeah, well, look out for WorkPie. WorkPie is my co-working space, which is opening soon if anyone's from Derbyshire. It's very exciting. I'll be writing about it on my blog. But yeah, nothing in particular. I've got a few exciting blog posts coming up. As always, I plan on writing lots over the next 2 weeks. I'll probably write nothing, maybe one post. I'm going to Glastonbury this year. Maybe I'll write about that. So
yeah, you should.
Yeah. But yeah, who knows? Every week's different. I don't know what I'm doing week to week. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. So
all the more
reason. Check out the blog and see what's there.
All the more reason to subscribe to keep up with all your travels.
Yes, exactly. Travels and other adventures. So like I write a bit about freelance work and fun. And who knows? Maybe I'll start writing about interior. Who knows?
Yes, I would love that. It'd be brilliant.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. And if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please think about giving me a lovely rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, head over to my blog, wanderloose.com, or hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest, where I'm at wanderlooseblog.